Okay, we're going to begin here at the bottom of Kuf Samach Bet Amud Bet. Gemara asks a question. Shnei shitim she'amru. So we said before that the Gemara lays out the basic premise that you have. The Braisa says that if you leave two blank lines, it's problematic. If you leave one blank line, it's fine. And then the Gemara was done about a line v'chetzi. But now the Gemara wants to know, when we talk about two lines, what does that mean, two lines? Because two lines, if you think about it in anybody's writing, you have or a Sefer Torah, regular Sefer Torah that you look. A line can mean the line of print, or a line can mean the line of print plus the margin that's on top, or the spacing between the different lines. So that's what the Gemara wants to know here. Does that mean the ability to write two lines plus the spacing there as well? Oh, hein velo aviran. Or them and without there, I mean simply two lines of writing without any spacing between them. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Mistavro Hein Vaviram. It's got to be them and the spacing. Disakadatcha Hein Velo Aviran. If you say it's them and without their spacing in it, Shita Achat Velo Aviran. Amay Chazio. If you have one line of writing without any spacing, what would be the purpose of it? El Shmamina must be Hein Vaviram Shmamina. Must be that it is with the spacing. Now the Girsa here is unclear. The way you see the Aleph and the Bach. The Girsa of the Tosvot is to have the Shita Achat. That the question of the Gemara is then in the Braisa, why did the Braisa have to come and teach you that by Shita Achat, you can leave a Shita Achat? It's obvious you can leave a Shita Achat. Why? Because what did you just leave? You left enough space to write the line without any spacing. So it would be obvious if someone came and filled that line in, it would have been obvious because they can't, if they wrote over there, it would touch the letters above. It would be different than the rest of the writing of the document because there'd be no spacing and it'd be obvious. So why does the Braisa have to tell you that Shita Achat is Kasher? Of course, Shita Achat's Kshera, because you didn't have any spacing there. So that's the way Tosfos learned. Tosfos learns that the Gemara says, Shmamina, it has to be Hein Vaviran. Otherwise, what's the point of the Braisa saying that it's Achat? The Rashbam doesn't say Shita Achat. The Rashbam says that it's, that leaves out the word Shita Achat. His spacing between, say you leave two lines with no spacing whatsoever. So now you have two lines of print. So what can you do? But the one possibility is that you write two lines, but then there won't be any spacing and it'll be touching, right? And the other possibility is that he writes one line. Now, if he writes one line, we ignore the Shita Achrona. We always ignore the last line. So either way, he's not going to be able to do anything with this. So it must be Hein Va'aviran. Because if he just has two Shitot without any Avir, the only two possibilities are what you do. You write two lines and then there's no space, and there you know it's a forgery. Or you write one line with the proper spacing, but then it's the last line of the document. Last line of the document we don't learn from. So that's the Rashbam learns the question of the Gemara. Tosfos learns the question of the Gemara about being the obviousness of a Shita Achat. Either way, the conclusion of the Gemara over here is that it's including, when we say Shita, we talk about one line and two lines, we're talking about them plus their spacing. The spacing in order to provide the proper spacing for the writing. Otherwise, again, according to the Tosfot, it doesn't make sense what the reason that you have to tell me that Shita Achatz Kshira, according to the Rashbam, even two Shitot, right, it would be obvious that it would be a forgery, and therefore, what's there to talk about? It must be that there's spacing there, because then it becomes indiscernible whether there's a forgery or not, because you have the proper spacing and he can write in the line without having he writes in two lines and we'll ignore the last line, but the one before that we won't ignore, and that'll give him the opportunity to forge. Gemara says over here, Reb Shabtai Amar, Mishmei Techizkiah, Shnei Shitim Shamru Bechtav Yidei Edim. So the two Shitim that we're talking about here, we're talking about has to be the handwriting of the Edim, Bechtav Yidei Sofer, and not of the we call him the documenter here. But in their day, it seems that, number one, it was not everybody was able to write, for certain. And even those who could write, they were not as efficient or did not excel at writing like the Sofer. The benefit of the Sofer was that, firstly, he knew how to write, and number two, he knew how to write in a smaller print. Is that he could fit in more in a less of a space. It's not like today where you can get endless paper, or they have to make klafim and they reuse them. There was a limited amount and you wanted to get as much as you could onto whatever klaf that you had. So here the Sofer writes with a much smaller writing. So the Chizkiah is suggesting over here, Rav Shabtai Mishmei Techizkiah, is that the Shnei Shitim, those two blank spaces, have to be the Ktav Yedim. Why? My time at the Chod Mizayif, Lav the Gabe Safra, Zil Umizayif. Right? When you go, when a person wants to forge a document, he's not going to the Sofer to forge the document. He doesn't go to anybody part of the institution that normally right, that does these types of things, because then he may get caught. He may get found out. So what does he do? He finds somebody else to write, or even if he can write, but he doesn't write as well as the sofer. So what assumption is, what can he do now? If you leave the two blank lines, he cuts the whole top of the document off, it's gone, and then he writes a shtar on those two lines. So the only way he can write a shtar on those two lines, or he can get someone else to write a shtar on those two lines, if you leave enough space for ktav eidim, the way people, lay people, write. Not expert stenographers or sofrim that write with a very fine and small print. You leave enough space where you could cheat. If it's not enough space, enough space for the sofer, not enough space for the regular lay people's writing, then you don't have to worry about it, because the underlying assumption of the Gemara is that a sofer is not mizayif. Right, that the sofer is not on the take. You can't bribe the sofer to do this, or you can't get him on the take. Or, even if you could, it's too risky. Nobody would want, you know, you ask a friend, you ask somebody there, okay, so it doesn't work out. But you ask a sofer, the sofer could turn you in to the authorities, or it could ruin the reputation. You don't want to take that type of risk. So the assumption is that by sofer, he would not be the one who does the forgery over here. So now I want to know, b'kamo. When we say that the shitin and aviran, what do we mean, shitin and aviran? Samar Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar kagon l'cha l'cha. So l'cha l'cha, so what's l'cha l'cha? Ze al gabi ze, one on top of the other. Alma kasavar. So he must hold shnei shitim v'arba avirin. Two lines of writing plus four blank spaces. Why is it four blank spaces? Right, so you have the l'cha l'cha. So the Rashbam reads it, that l'cha l'cha, the chof sofit drops down below the line, and the lamed goes above the line. So if you put l'cha, not exactly, right, they're not exactly justified, but if you put the chof sofit above the lamed, if you put the chof sofit above the lamed, then you have a chof sofit dropping down, a lamed coming up, so that's two spaces between them, and then above them you need one space, and below them you need a space, because you have the chaf sofit below and the lamed above. So now you have four spaces in order to have, that's what it means, shnei shitim, believe shnei shitim, proper shnei shitim. The amount of spacing is enough spacing that you'll get the chaf sofit down, the lamed up. Tosus reads it and he says it doesn't matter. It could even be justified. It could be lecha on top of lecha, because we see from the Gemara, we'll see in a second, that just, you also have to leave a space, man. Even if the lamed goes up and doesn't touch the chaf sofit, you still need to leave space in order that the lamed itself doesn't touch the letters above. So you will have two spaces in between, even if it's not lamed against the chaf sofit, just because even if like this, you have to leave above the lamed, you have to leave a space before the word on top of it, and from the chaf sofit below it, you need a space, a blank space between that and the word. Because if you didn't, if you only left exactly that, and you had the chaf and the lamed, they'd end up touching. I mean, so you have to have another space.
So that's what we do
like in our Sefer Torah and stuff like that. They tip, they'll bend the lamed a little bit, or the chav sofit a little bit, which is that we don't leave enough space that you can write a lamed and a chav sofit over each other. We don't do that. We leave enough space, like I was going to say, we leave enough space that you can write either one of them. And when you have a problem between them, then we tilt them a little bit, we curve them a little bit so they don't touch. But not that we leave enough space to get a full lamed and chav sofit and a space between them. That we don't leave that much space. Now, Rav Avira bar Ami mishmei dulo amar ki gon lamed milamalo v'chaf milamato. So alma kusavir shnei shitim shlosha avirin. So what is he saying? The lamed's on top, the chav's on the bottom. So it means he's leaving enough space above the line, the top line for the lamed, enough space below the bottom line for a chav sofit, and in between the two lines there's a single space between them. So it's actually more along the lines of what we do, that you have these shlosha avirin, that you have enough space to do three avirim. And this is Tosus' proof, that before when we say arba avirin, is that it doesn't have to be that they're lined up, the chosafit and the lamed, because here you see that even without any letter that's extending above, you still need an empty space between the lines. So that empty space exists above the top end of the letters.
What's the kaf?
So regular kaf
or
kaf sofit? So kaf sofit in the mato means you need space below it.
So what's the difference between them?
Well, the other time we had the lamed and the chaf pointing towards each other. Here you have the lamed on the top line and the chaf on the bottom line, the chaf sofit on the bottom line. So they're not in the middle line, we don't have them touching each other. So as he says, this is two lines of writing, and then shlosha avirin, which is closer to what we have in our Sefer Torah. Similar, right, spacing between all of them, despite whether there's a letter dropping or not dropping down. Alright. Ribawa Ma'arka Gon, Baruch Ben Levi Bishita Achat. So he says, no, that it's one line. So here, clearly, Rabbi Boaz probably most likely argues, as opposed to the others who don't argue on Chizkiya, who are just describing in Chizkiya, when you say Shtei Shitin, what does it mean, Shtei Shitin with Avir? Shtei Shitin with Avir can either be Shtei Shitin with four Avirot, or it can be Shtei Shitin with three avirin. Now you have Rabbi Avo, who seems to introduce a totally new concept that it's one line. It's Shita Achat, Baruch ben Levi on Shita Achat, which means what? You need one line, Kasavar Shita Achat, Ushne Avirin. One above for the Lamed above, right, from Levi, and one below, the space below, for the Baruch, the Chav Sofit over there. So that's the last opinion, where Rabbi Bo seems to differ from all these other opinions, which is that he thinks you only need one line of spacing and space above and below, and that already will be a problem. Amarav, Loshanu Ela Ben Edim Lichtav. The whole problem, the spacing here, is between the document itself and the signature of the Edim. About Ben Edim Lasharto, but between the Edim and the Kiyum Beis Din, that Beis Din, you know, that some sort of Beis Din comes along and gave a hempek, or did some sort of approval stamp on the document, there we say that it's okay, you can leave as much space as you want. So Ben Edim Lasharto, afilu tuva nami kosher. You can leave as much space between the end of the signature of the Edim and the Asharta and the approval or the, you know, verification of Beis Din that is written and stamped below the document or signed by the Beis Din below. So Mar says, Maishna, Ben Edim Lechtav, Dom Mizayif, Vikotov. So what's the problem between the Edim and the Khtav? What are you afraid of? He's going to cut off the document on top, right? Or he'll cut off the document on top and then forge like a whole new document in those two lines, to write a whole, you know, some obligation, IOU, in that line, and you have the Edim there. Or he'll add lines to the document. So that's what we're worried about. Vikata, my Dubai, and he'll write what he wants. Vikatim is Ade. And then the Edim are already signed there. So he has a perfect Edim. He either slice off the top of the shtar and write whatever he wants, or he can continue the shtar for two lines, and he's able to again get an extra line of Tanaim or conditions into the document. So that we don't allow it. Now, Ben Edim Lasharta, Nami. So why don't you just say the same thing between the Edim and the Asharta? Nami, what's he going to do? Messiah Vikatov. Madabai Vikatim Esade. He's going to go ahead and forge everything. He'll basically cut off the entire document above. It means that he cuts off the document plus the Edim above. Slices that off. Now what does he have? He has a great thing. He has an approval from Beis Din, or a verification from Beis Din, and he has blank space on top of it. It's like a free-for-all for him. He could just write whatever he wants. Now, the Rashbam indicates here that he forges the document and forges witnesses, or he gets new witnesses to sign over there. So that not only, yeah, you have a totally new document on top. A new shtar with new edim, and then there's a shtar to the Beis Din underneath it, and it looks great. He's got a perfect document. That's what he wants. So that's what the Rashbam suggests, and that seems to make the most sense over here. I think there are others that suggest that when he writes over here, he slices up the whole top, and then he writes a new shtar, and the shtar to the Beis Din functions both as the edim for that shtar, and as well as the Beis Din's approval. So it's functioning in both ways. And I think the easiest way to get around that is just say that a shtar to the Beis Din does not qualify a shtar unless there's other edim signed on it. But there are those that say that from the reading of the Gemara, but I think the way the Rashbam reads it makes a lot of sense that you have to have a second set of edim. So he says that he actually forges the edim along with the new document that he's going to put over there. All right, so now Gemara says, okay, so what's the difference? If you leave space between the shtar and the edim, and then if you leave space between the Edim and the Asharta, you're going to run into the same problem, which is that he can do whatever he likes. So the Gemara's answer is the Metayitle. This is something that Tosfos has been mentioning a lot before now, but this idea of Metayitle. Metayitle is some way to prevent there from being writing in that area. So you have, again, today in modern documents, they do the same thing. They write, you know, there's like a big scribble or, you know, like the swirly thing at the bottom that shows that this is the end of the contract. Some way to indicate the end of the contract that no information can be placed here, or they do watermarks that you can't write anything over there. Whatever they do, that, or this page is intentionally left blank, right? That all these things that prevent people from using those pages as writing or writing on those parts of the document. So they had here. There's a suggestion. The Rashbam says tiyuta is that they used to spill ink, blotch ink across that area. That's the way the Rashbam indicated. What's tiyuta? Tiyuta is that they used to splash ink across that whole area. So therefore, you couldn't write anything on top of it anymore because there's ink there. And if you have ink there, the only way to write there is to erase. So if you erase, then we already know that you erase something and that the erasure will be clear. So that's the Rishbam suggestion, is that simply it's a blotch of ink. Tosus takes issue with that. He says he doesn't think that's the right way to explain it, because if you believe that it's a blotch of ink across that, then you know what he could do? He could go, and then there's a blotch at the bottom, he'll go blotch the entire document. He won't just blotch the bottom, he'll blotch the entire document and the edim underneath, and then he'll write a shtar in the gilyon. He'll write a shtar in the margin. And then you have a document. If it, right now he has a document that's written here, splotches below it, and then he has the edim signed. So what he'll do is he'll splash the edim, splash the document, and then on top, where there's a blank space, he'll write a new document. So we just said that you always put a splash between the document and the edim. So now what he could do, he could just create the splash, he could just splash out everything he doesn't want, write a new document on top, and then we'll think that the ink spots or splash is just a right separation between the end of the document and the signature of the edim. Or the Ashart that the Beis Din, right. Whatever you want, that's there. So Tosfos does not like the idea of the splash of the ink over here. So the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that it's benukudot or shurot. Shnikar b'chalak. You make some sort of, it seems like here, you make holes, like poke holes or draw lines across that prevent, that it's obvious that here you can't write. Once you do something like that, you can't write on top of it, because it's obvious if you write on top of it that this was already cut or there were dots in it. And you can't do that to the upper part of the document, because that won't remove the ink that's there. It won't ruin what's written. Even if you slice through it. On top of what? You already have a shtar that's written there. There's a document there that has writing in it. You have a writing in it. So if you splash it with ink, then you can make it look like there was nothing there before. See, if you try to write lines through it, you're going to see that they wrote lines right through the ink. It's not going to work. So now the Gemara says, okay, Bihachi, if you are going to splotch between the end of where the edim are written till the asharta of Beis Din, right, so now you're great. So now you solve the problem. Nobody can write between the edim and the asharta of the Beis Din, because you made it somehow, right, unusable. Either by the splashing of the ink, the slice, you know, cutting through it a little bit, or dots, whatever it is that you're doing to make it unusable. So Gemara says, do the same thing. Do the same thing by Yahweh ben Edim Lashtar. Now I'm tightly. Why can't you just have the same solution? Between the end of the shtar and the edim, what are you going to do? So in the end of the shtar and the edim, you also do the exact same thing. You'll just, right, put a tiyuta there. You'll put a splotch of ink, or you'll cut through there, and then nobody can fill in anything between the edim and the shtar. So if you have a solution for between the edim and the asharta, why can't that work for between the edim and the shtar itself? Why is it any different? So the Gemara says there is a difference. You know why? Because imre sade tiyuta hu dechatime. If you have edim that are signed below this blotch or below this demarcation that you can't write over there, what are we going to think? We're going to think that the edim come not to sign on the shtar above, but they're kind of to sign on the tiyuta on this, that there was nothing erased here. That this is actually, this tiyuta is a good tiyuta. Because how do you know that he didn't expand the tiyuta? How do you know that it wasn't something underneath here and he erased it? So you would say possibly that the edim are coming not to sign on the shtar above, rather they're coming to sign on the fact that this tiyuta didn't cover anything up, or this, nothing was erased over here. So because of that, we don't want the edim. So Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, why don't we say the same thing about Beis Din? Right? So why don't, if you want to say, ben edim lashar, then nami amri Beis Din tiyuta hu dechatime. So alright, you want to say over here that sade tiyuta chanite, so then ben edim lasharta, say the exact same thing, the Beis Din's coming here to verify that this tiyuta is a good tiyuta and there's nothing below this. Gemara says, Beis Din tiyuta lo chatime. That's not the job of Beis Din. Beis Din doesn't sign off on, Beis Din signs off on the veracity of the document and the contents of the document. They don't sign off on whether the tiyuta is not yuta. When you're talking about edim, anybody could be an aid. You could talk about Amei Aretz, you could talk about anybody an aid. So the aid might think that he's testifying about this tiyuta here. So that, we worry about the edim that are signing this document, whether they really understand what they're signing to. The guy could tell him, listen, why don't you sign here? I just want you to sign that there's a blotch here. You know, that this was blotch. You saw me put this blotch here. So they go saying, but they don't, no, check that there's a document above. Beis Din will never do that. Beis Din is clear. They know what they're signing on. They know what they're verifying. They're verifying the document above. So because of that chshash, by Beis Din, we allow you to leave a space between the edim and the asharta, as long as there's some sort of tiyuta, something that blocks you from writing over there, that's fine. But if you have spacing between the shtar and the edim, and then you use a tiyuta to stop the people from writing over there, then we say it's no good, because we don't know then anymore what the edim were doing, what they were signing on. Were they signing on the shtar itself, or they thought they were signing on this tiyuta? And because of that, we say it's a pasul shtar. Now, the Shbam comes along. The Shbam said it in yesterday's daf as well, but he says it here. He says, what happens if we come along, and we have, like for instance, yesterday you have a document that has two lines left over it, without any tiyut. So there's two spaces, there's a line, two spaces left. So if he has, what do you do now? So he buys it. Bahempek lefanenu. We have a bahempek before us. Beishbo shnei shitim chalak. And there's two blank spaces there. Below tiyut. Without any tiyut. And the Rishbam asked it yesterday on the daf. What happens if someone comes with a document for us? And there's two blank spaces between the shtar and the edim. So is that pasul or not pasul? What's our fear? Our fear is that he's going to come along and fill in the two spaces. And he will do it.
But if he
But here, the document, we have a document. We know there's two spaces now, and nothing was filled in. So it should be a kosher document. Same thing here. If it's after the Edim, to the Asharta, right, you leave, there's two blank spaces. So we know that he didn't do anything, because the space is still there. The Rashbam in both places said Pasul. Why? Anybody goes against Matbea the Chachamim, the Shtar is automatically Pasul. So now, even though technically the Ziyuf didn't happen, because we can see it didn't happen, nevertheless, since he created a Shtar that's open to Ziyuf, that's against the way the Chachamim established, because we want to have a standard of Shtarot that everybody, so that everybody writes the same way, in a way that prevents fraud. So if you write it in a way that allows for fraud, even though there was no fraud perpetrated on this document, it's Pasul, because you didn't adhere to the standards that the Chachamim laid out. So the Rashbam says it here about below the Ishtarta, and yesterday's daf he said it about between the Ishtar and the Edim, the same thing. All right, now the Gemara says Vilichush. Wait a minute. Lichush Duma Gaizle the Eila Umachik le the Tiyuta. Listen, this is a great idea here. Let's cut off the upper Ishtar with the Edim, and then he'll erase the Tiyuta. The cult of the Madabayu Machtim Sade. That they will write whatever they want, and the Sade will, and the Edim will sign over there. So now the problem we're going to get today, today's daf doesn't really deal with it, but tomorrow's daf deals with erasure. Erasure is visible. Everybody can tell that you erased on a cloth. You can tell that somebody erased on a cloth. And you might even be able to tell the difference between erasing one time and two times. Because each time, their type of erasure is not like our. You erase it and it disappears. Right? Their erasure meant that they had to be goreid. They had to actually take a piece of the cloth off. Like you see that in Sefer Torah. When you erase in the Sefer Torah, it's obvious that someone erased. Somebody cut because you have to scrape away part of the cloth to get the letter off. So when you scrape away, you can see that there was some correction made over here. So the same thing here. What happens if you do it, if you scrape, we know there was an erasure. So what's he going to do? He has the tiyuta and he has the upper part of the shtar. The upper part of the shtar doesn't need anymore because he doesn't want that. Cuts that away, it's gone. Now he has the piece of the tiyuta left. So what's he going to do? He's going to erase the entire tiyuta. He's going to erase it. Then he will write a new shtar and have Edim sign on that part of the shtar. So now both the shtar itself and the Edim are on top of this new erasure. So you can't say, I mean, the problem is if he comes along with us to a shtar that has the content portion of the shtar in place that was erased, and the Edim are on the regular cloth. So then you know there's something fishy here because the Edim are signed on a regular cloth, and there's an erasure above that he wrote on. So now you think, all right, there was a shtar there, he erased it, and then he wrote whatever he wanted. So we know there's a problem. But if the Edim are signed on the same erasure that the document is, then why should we worry about a fraud? The Edim, and it's signed on the same level because they were both erased, and now the Edim signed on the same, you know, paper quality that the Ishtar is on. So that sounds fine. The Asharta is going to be on without erasure. But you say, fine, the Edim did, and that they had something above, they erased it. And again, this is like this preservation of cloth. They didn't want to throw things out. They needed to reuse them. It wasn't so, not, again, they don't throw out paper, yet they reuse them. So you hear the Mochek, writes a new Ishtar with the Edim, and then they have a Asharta the Beis Din on the part of the cloth that's not erased. So now we're going to figure out, what is this tiyuta help you if we can erase the tiyuta and then put a whole document? Why? Vamarav, shtar haba hu ve'edav al machak kasher. That if you have a shtar and the Edim are signed on the same erasure, then it's fine because they're on the same level. We know it's fine. So Yomar says, ha nicho the Rav Kahano. This goes well going to Rav Kahano, the matni lo mishmein to Shmuel, who says that, no, that memra is the name of Shmuel. So the name is Shmuel, then you don't have a problem, because then Shmuel is the one who's saying that it works when the Edim and the Shtar are on the same document. But it's Rav, and Rav who suggests over here that lo shanuel ben Edim lechtav, ben Edim lesharta, it's okay. With Tiyuta, that works, because that's Rav. But Shmuel, who says you can erase it, he'll have to be choshesh for this, or Shmuel won't hold of Rav's solution. Either way, you could differentiate. Once it's Rav and Shmuel, you can say that they're different halachot, and they're either in different context, or that they are arguing. They disagree about this principle. But that Shapir, El Rav, Tav Yumi, Demani Lo Shmei the Rav. To me, it says this is a member of Rav. What are you going to do? Ma'ikal the Meimar. When I say Kasaver Kigol Agavna, Ein Mikamino Tov Min Asharta Shabo Elamini Idim Shabo. You're not mekayim the shtar from the asharta, but you're mekayim the shtar from the edim. If you have a shtar like this, I mean, that if you have a shtar that has erasure above, and you have writing and then edim, and then you have an asharta below, we're not going to allow the asharta to dictate that this document is good. So we're not going to just say, oh, here, we have a verification of Beis Din. Verification of Beis Din says everything's above is good. I don't need to check on the edim. I don't need to check on the shtar anymore because I have an asharta to Beis Din. So no, the answer is that in this case, you do. When the Asharta is written on a different quality of paper on the same cloth, then the Shtar and the Edim above, we say, okay, look, it looks like the Shtar and the Edim are of the same quality, so the Edim are fine. So we're not going to worry about a Ziyuf between the Edim and the Shtar. What we are going to worry about is a Ziyuf between the Shtar and the Sharta itself. So that we will check up on. The other answer you could have given, I mean, the Gemara could also have just said, is that anytime you have a case like this, it's Pasul. I mean, you could have just said, when the Sharta has to be on the same quality or paper as the Shtar and the Edim above. So if you just said it, if the Shtar is erased, and the Asharta is on the same erasure as the Edim and the Shtar, then it's fine. But if the Asharta is on a different quality of paper, cloth, then the Edim and the Shtar above it, then it's Pasul automatically. The Gemara solution is the same, basically, which is that the Asharta is no good, we still have to check on the Edim. And the Asharta is fine as long as you check on the Edim and verify that the whole Shtar was Beseder. So as soon as you do that, then the Asharta will come into play. So that's how we solve the problem. Now Rabbi Yochanan comes. Rabbi Yochanan seems to be arguing on Rav, but if you look at Rabbi Yochanan over here, you really can reconcile between them. Really, they don't have to be chulek over here. It's really, in the end, it turns out that you could suggest that they actually agree. So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, Lo shanu ela ben edim lichtav. That this whole idea that we said that you can leave one space is between edim and lichtav. Al ben edim la sharta. Between edim and the sharta, afilu shita achat pasul. Wait. So Rav says you can leave a ton of space. Rabbi Yochanan says you can only leave one line. You can't even leave one line between them. So now either you could suggest that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav, and they're arguing. They're arguing about how much space you can leave. Or you can say that Rabbi Yochanan talked about different cases. Rav says you can leave as much space as you want when you do a tiyuta. That's when you can leave as much space as you want. Without a tiyuta, he would agree to Rabbi Yochanan that you can't even leave a single line. We're also going to see in a second that the shita of Rabbi Yochanan is unusual, and there maybe they can argue about this shita, which is Maishna ben edim nasharta. Well, why between the edim and the sharta can you leave no space? Dilma gaiz liloi. What's he going to do? He's going to cut up everything up above. B'katav huve edav b'shita achat. And then he'll write his shtar and the edim on one line, right across. He'll have Ploni owes Ploni money, and edim, right across that one line. Straight, one line. They write everything over there, and then you have an ashtar to the beis din underneath it. V'kasavar, Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds, shtar ba hu ve'edah b'shita achat kasher. Has to be that a shita, when you have written on one line, it's kasher. So now, Rav could argue with that principle. If Rav argues with that principle, then... Right, that would say that if you argue with that principle, then if you can't have the edim on the same line as the shtar, then obviously one space, right, he would have to argue with the principle of Rabbi Yochanan that one space is pasul, but he couldn't, he'd still have to agree that if you don't have a tiyuta, that it's a problem. So you'd have to have a tiyuta, but there's one space is not. Yochi, but then, ben edim lechtav nami. So why don't you say the same thing between the edim and the chtav? Dilma gai is lay liloi, he'll cut off the top, v'chata ma dabai v'chatim esade. So what he'll do is, he'll cut off the top, write a document over there with a line and have the edim afterwards. So he says, no, kasavar shtar ba b'shita achad v'edda b'shita acheret pasul. He says, no, that you have two. Before, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can write the shtar on one line and then you'll have the edim right next to it. So that's why we worry about the sharta. Says, so why don't we worry about above the edim themselves that are signed there? He'll cut the whole top of the shtar off, write a shtar in one line, and then have the edim below it. No, Rabbi Yochanan believes if the edim are below the line, pasul. Because
why doesn't he say also the same thing also with the shtar? But if it's also before the shtar in one line below, it'll also be pasul.
What does it mean, one line? No, one line across with the edim after it is kasher, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The problem here is that he's writing one line as the shtar, and then underneath it he has edim signed. It's on two lines. That's the problem. Rabbi Yochanan says if the edim are not signed on the same line as the end of the document, it's no good. So that's why you can't do it. So now, what does the Gemara say? You know what he'll do? He'll cut off the top of the shtar, he'll write a shtar and the edim on one line. What about this edim underneath it that he still has there, that are below? He says, I added on. I wanted to make it a super shtar. So I have my line of the shtar, I have edim afterwards, and then I have more edim after that. So he says, there's no problem. We won't allow those edim to verify it. If you want to verify a document like that, we only verify the document from the edim that are found on the same line as the shtar, not on the edim that are found below the line of the shtar. So from Rabbi Yochanan, you come out, you have to, the shtar has to end, and the edim have to be signed along the same line of the shtar. So therefore, below the edim, the signature of the edim, when you're dealing with the asharta, we worry about a space being left over. Because if you slice off the top and you have that space, then you can write a one-line document with a deem signed afterwards, and that'll be a very good, that'll be a perfect shtar. And now you have an asharta to that shtar. So we say, no, don't leave any space there. Whereas when it's above the edim, the space, then what are you going to do? If you slice off, right, the top of the shtar, you're going to still have those edim there. And those edim are going to present the problem for you, because even if you write a line, one line shtar, with the edim signed at the end of that line, you still have these other edim below. And those other edim below are going to present a problem for you, because they're not on the same line as the end of the shtar. And if he suggests that I have edim on the same line as the shtar, plus I have extra edim, in that case, we will only be mitayim the shtar from the upper edim, and we'll say, not use the asharta, we're going to say, look, we got to check on these edim, because this funky looking shtar, there's some questions, we got to check into it. So that's the Gemara's until this point. The Rashbam says, why does Rabbi Yochanan matir? Why does he say that you can have, why do you have to have the signatures at the end of the line? What is that from? So he says over here, the Rashbam says, "Benir beinai tamosha devarhu veida b'shita achad kasher d'lo palig rabbanim ben shtar gadol l'shtar katan." They didn't want to differentiate between a big shtar and a small shtar. You can have an IOU, which is one line long, and you have a massive shtar. So they wanted it to be that there was a consistency between all shtarot, and therefore if you could have a shtar that could fit into one line with edim at the end, then we want it to be that all shtarot are going to be signed in the same manner. So they'll all be signed right after the end of that line, not on the next line below it. So as long as you have edim signed along that line, we'll know that it'll attest to the veracity of the document. And that'll be a problem only, again, if you leave space below the edim, because then you can slice it off and make such a shtar below with an ashar to the base, then, which we don't want to happen. Tosus asks the obvious question here, which is like, okay, what about the margin? So what you'll do is you'll slice the whole thing off. You have a right margin in the document, and you have edim that are signed one line below. So the edim are signed below. Instead of slicing up the top and writing above those edim, you know what you do is slice it off and write onto the right of those edim, and write on the right margin. So why don't we choshesh for the fact that he might write on this right margin? And in order to prevent this problem from happening, the edim have to sign one on top of the other and not straight across the line. If they sign straight across the line, you could run into this problem where you can put your shtar on the right margin and create a shtar that's signed by the edim by cutting off the top and putting something to the right margin. If you put one edim on top of the other edim, by definition you can't do it anymore. Because then you can't have a one-line document. Because if he writes it on the right margin, it's going to go up against one of the edim, but not both edim. In order to be kasher, like Rabbi Yochanan, you have to have it the whole thing plus both edim and shita achat. Once you have it on shte shitot, on two lines, you can't forge to the right margin. As the Tosa says, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests the same thing, that the edim have to sign one right on top of each other in order to prevent this problem of the problem of using the margins to falsify or to forge the document. And okay, we'll stop over there. That's good.